Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our last and final night. Welcome if you're online. Uh-oh. Straggler. So, before we get started tonight, I wanted to thank Pastor John for allowing me this opportunity to speak with you people and to teach this lesson. It's something that God really put on my heart, and I just want to thank everybody for showing up, everybody for tuning in online, and also thank you, Pastor Alex, who normally teaches on Wednesday night. He let me have a whole month, and next week, starting Wednesday, right? Next week, he is starting Who Are You? Our Identity. Our Identity. So Alex will be back with you again next week, and I will not. So let's jump right into it, all right? We don't have a lot of time to waste. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing, Lord. We thank you that for every person that is here tonight, for those that are tuning in online, we ask a special blessing on each and every one, Lord. Lord, not only that you would give us ears to hear, but that you would give us hearts and minds to understand, Father. Give us revelation, illumination, and wisdom, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week we left off on apolutrosis. Apolutrosis. Anybody remember the definition of that word? What does the word apolutrosis mean, Howie? No, not slathered. That's a different word. Apolutrosis means that you're bought back, right? Yeah. Out of slavery, that you're bought back, but you are also something else. Restored. Thank you very much. You're restored back to what you were before you ended up in slavery, right? And that's what apolutrosis means. We left off talking about the six reasons we have problems, and we're not going to go over that. We're not going to go over anything from the last 3 weeks. If you want to see it, it is online. What we're going to start out with, though, is the six things that we want to learn about apolutrosis, but not only apolutrosis, six things we want to learn about the whole 3 weeks we've been talking, okay? Because some of them are not exactly apolutrosis, but the first thing that we want to learn is that we became weak. It wasn't always so. It's not the way God created us, is it? You guys are awake out there, okay. We were not created weak. We were created what? In the image of God, right? God's not weak. Therefore, we weren't created weak. We became weak after the fall, but second thing, Jesus freely restores. Amen. Come write that down in your note, highlight it, mark it, read it to yourself. Jesus freely restores. Why is that? Why does Jesus freely restore?
So we could have a relationship with the Father.
I like this guy. He's good. So we could have a relationship with the Father. Also, because we're worth it. In God's eyes, you are everything. Right? Underneath here, I got this shirt. My daughter-in-law made me. I can't take it off. The mic doesn't fit on it. But it says, I'm God's favorite child. In the back, it says, and so are you. Right? So, number three. Fear is the number one weapon of the enemy. Fear is the number one weapon against a slave. Keep your head down. Two steps to the right. Don't make waves. Move on past. Maybe it won't hurt so much this time. That is a lie from the enemy. He's been a liar from the get-go. What's changed? Nothing. He's still lying to us. Number four, faith, or another way of saying faith, is loving trust, right? I have faith in God. Therefore, I have loving trust in everything that God says, everything that God does for me. Loving trust is the number one weapon of God's people. I don't have to necessarily, my grandkids come over and they say, hey, you know, Pop-Pop, we'd like a meal. They don't have to know what I'm cooking. Doesn't matter. They don't have to know how long it's going to take for me to prepare the meal for them. They know and trust that I'm going to feed them. As soon as they say, I'm hungry, I'm like, I'm on it. God's the same way. Loving trust. Number five, the restoration is not over. The redeeming back part, the buying back part for our salvation is over. But the full and complete restoration is not over yet. Creation has not been restored yet. Death has not been taken out of the equation yet. So there's still a couple things that have to be restored that will be restored. We can trust that he will do those two things. Why? Because he's already done the other things that he said he was going to do. Right? Number six. Write this one down if you write none of the others down on your paper. Restoration has always, underline always, always been God's plan. From the very foundation of the world, restoration has always been God's plan. I wanted to get that out and finish it up from last week because we ran out of time and I didn't want to keep you guys any longer than we absolutely had to. But let's turn back on the bottom of page 4 of your notes and you'll see a verse there that we started back 3 weeks ago. Actually, 4 weeks ago. It's Matthew 8:17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. We talked about this in the very first week, how that Jesus came in to heal Peter's mother-in-law, right? She's sick. She's coughing. If you watch The Chosen, she didn't know what was going on. She was running a fever and having all kinds of different things. The Word of God doesn't really say that, but she was sick. And Jesus spoke a word to her, laid hands on her. She got up, says, hey, what do you guys want to eat? And all the neighbors heard it. They heard about it. They saw it. They understood that's not normal. And so they started bringing their uncles, their aunts, their mothers, their fathers, their children. Anybody who was sick, anybody who needed healing, Jesus, they brought them to Jesus. And he, what does the Bible say that he did? He healed them all. Every one of them. Right then. And that was to fulfill Matthew 8:17, which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities. What's the Greek word for infirmities? Anybody remember? Asthenia. Asthenia. It's actually written there on top of your notes. We cheated. Asthenia. What is the definition of asthenia? Weakness, right? It's the inherent weakness of man. It's the weakness that we were born with in this world. We were born into a broken world with a broken wheel. It's the asthenia, the weakness, right? And he carried away our diseases. The Greek word that we're going to look at tonight is nosos. Nosos. N-O-S-O-S. That's the Greek word for diseases. And what that word means is sickness, disease, plagues, cancer, heart problem, anything else you want to put on it. That's what nosos is. It's plural, and it's all the diseases that are inherent to us. Why do you think Jesus did that? Why do you think Jesus came in? Why didn't he just stop at Athenia? Salvation is great. But it's not all there is to the restoration. Exactly. That's not all there is to the restoration. Right? Gnosos has always been contrary to God's plan. It's always been contrary to God's plan. It's always been contrary to God's intention. God never intended mankind to endure gnosos. That was Satan's idea. Okay? So turn over in your notes, your papers to page five. We're going to look at a verse there in Luke chapter 13, verse 16. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she have not been released from the bond on the Sabbath day? So Jesus had this habit of going to the synagogue, going to the temple, and he would begin to teach. And somebody in the crowd would be sick, or in this case, this lady was bent over. She was, you know, problems. 18 years. She couldn't straighten up. And Jesus said, you know, it's the Sabbath. All the Pharisees are watching. Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? Is he going to heal today? They loved to get him in trouble. They thought every time he healed on the Sabbath, they were going to get him in trouble. He's going to break the law. You know, and Jesus said, you know, what one of you would have an animal that needed a drink that you wouldn't untie and take and go give it a drink? Or the one animal that fell in a ditch? You wouldn't. You'd pick it up out of the ditch, even though it was the Sabbath. Why? Because you cared for the animal. This woman is a daughter of Abraham. How much more important is she to the overall scheme of things and to the heart of Abba the Father than an animal? He reached out and he touched her. Some interesting things that Jesus says here that Matthew records. And one of them is, whom Satan has bound. For 18 long years, should she not have been released? The Greek word for released is leo, L-Y-O. L-Y-O. It's a really cool word. It not only means to be released from the ties that bind, but it means that those ties are dissolved. When you dissolve something, can you put it back together? No. It's permanent, isn't it? It's permanent. And that is what Jesus did for this woman. He says, Satan has bound you for these 18 long years, but I lilo you, L-Y-O. I dissolve the ties that bind. Okay? Second verse of scripture is found in Mark 11:23. You can't talk about healing without talking about Mark 11:23, especially if you listen to Hagin. I love Hagin when it comes to teaching on healing. He says, truly I say, Mark 11:23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. So, who's supposed to speak to the mountain?
We are.
Who's supposed to do the releasing?
Holy Spirit.
God does the releasing. Jesus does the releasing. We speak to the mountain. He does the releasing. It's a very symbiotic relationship that God has with his people. Not only does he give us the Holy Spirit, but he gives us power and authority to speak to the mountain. And then, and therefore, and it's He does the releasing. So, I want you to follow along with me here, a train of thought. It's not a thought bubble. It's very intentional. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit was teaching me when I was learning all this. And now's as good a time as any. How did you come up with this lesson, John? Well, it was really quite easy. I just prayed about it. Lord, give me revelation, illumination, and wisdom. Right. And over the course of days, weeks, he began to speak with me about apolytrosis, about Leo, about all these different words that we've looked at tonight. I didn't really pay much attention to them before. And then I began to write them down. And then I began to go, man, this is making so much sense.
Revelation.
Check this out. If weakness is the prison cell, nosos is the ties that bind. Jesus came for deliverance, restoration of them both. No inherent sinful nature and no sickness.
Amen.
That is the story that I want to get across to you tonight. Okay? If the first word, weakness, deals with our human condition of slavery, the second word, deals of diseases, deals with things that bind. For the little lady that was a daughter of Abraham, in her 18 years, it was being bent over. For you, it may be something entirely different. But that doesn't change. The fact of the matter is that Satan is the one that's doing the binding. Satan is the one that's doing the binding. I want to, as God was revealing this to me and showing me all these words and this whole process and everything, I woke up one night about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I sleep like the dead. I mean, I have the gift of sleep. It's incredible. I don't wake up, you know. It's just, I can probably count on one hand the times I've woken up in the last 3 months, you know. Unless God wakes me up, you know, I need to pray about something. I don't wake up. I just don't. But this night, I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was sick. I mean, instantly, I was sick. I couldn't breathe. Felt like my lungs were filling up with fluid, like I was drowning. Sinuses were running. I mean, I was sweating. And then I was having chills. I was a mess. I mean, bad enough, it's like, I need to wake my wife up. We got to go to the hospital now. You know, I'm having problems. And God said, why don't you just tell the no-sos to leave? Yeah. 15 seconds after I told the no-sos to leave, get out of here, you don't belong here, he left.
That's right.
He left. I was as surprised as he was. But God's word is true. And when you take God's word and you apply it to your life, we should expect results. We shouldn't be surprised by it.
Amen.
I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. You have to walk it out, right? You have to walk it out. But here's another thing. There's two things in the Lord's Supper, right? There's the bread and the wine. The blood and the body. The asthenia and the nosos. Each one has two elements. The blood of Jesus, right, removes our sinful condition, the asthenia. That's what opens the cell door. That's what releases the captives and sets us free on the path to freedom. But it's the body of Jesus. The hours of the scourging, the whipping, and the beating that he took prior to the cross that releases the nosos. That is a picture in the wine and in the bread. That's what the whole Lord's Supper is about. Right?
Right.
What does it say? It says, by his stripes we are healed. When did Jesus take stripes? It wasn't on the cross. It took prior to the cross. You know what? God is not, he is not, for lack of a better term, wasteful. Okay? He doesn't waste anything, especially the blood of his son. All that took place prior to the cross was for a reason. And somehow, I had missed that until Howie explained it to me. Came over to my house one day, laid hands on me, boom, instantly healed. I mean instantly, like the nosos leaving. 15 seconds later, I'm healed. Most of you know that story, so I'm not going to get into it too much tonight. But there are two elements to the Lord's Supper, and there's two elements to what Jesus did for us, the nosos and the asthenia, the sinful condition and the diseases, opening the cell door and dissolving the handcuffs. Both of them are what he died for. It's what he died for. Our ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. The word reconciled there is katalasso, katalasso, katalasso. Very interesting word. It means to change, right? It means to change. If I went down to Mexico or some other place that had a different currency and all I had was dollars, I would go into a place and I would exchange dollars for pesos or whatever the currency happened to be. It's an exchange. You're trading one thing for another. It's used commonly of that exact exchange rate, katalasso, right? To change. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled or changed, or better yet, exchanged, right? Exchanged us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of exchanging or reconciliation. That's what it means. We're trading one form for another. I'm still human, right? Two legs, two arms, two eyes. Two noses. But something's changed. Now I'm a child of God. Never to walk this planet before. I'm a new creature, right? Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling or exchanging the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, as he has committed to us the word of reconciliation or exchanging. It's our ministry to tell people about the exchange that God did for us. I was one way and now I'm another.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm in covenant with Christ. Through that covenant relationship, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a walked out process. I've been walking with God for 43 years. It's new all the time. It doesn't get old.
That's right.
You know, as soon as I think I got a handle on something, he's like, oh, have you checked this out yet?
Yes. Turn the page.
Turn the page. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled or exchanged to God. It's really a cool verse when you look at it with katalasso in it. When you put in the word exchange for reconciliation, feel free to just mark that all up on your notes. Okay? I have three boys. I was very relieved when my first son came out and there was 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, 2 legs. You know how it is being a new parent? You just don't know until you have that baby in your hands, have that baby in your arms, right? But there's three things that I want, that I wanted for all of my children. I wanted them to be educated. We sent them to private schools. I'm not bragging, it's just that we wanted them to be educated, you know? And the public schools, they weren't that great. So we sent them to private school. It was a Christian school, but nevertheless, the education, my son would say, oh, I want to go to high school. Dad, I want to go to high school. I want to play some sports. I want to go to high school. You know how they get that chant going? Fine, go to high school. Bored out of his mind. He's like, Dad, I learned all this stuff 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I wanted my children to be educated, right? The second thing I wanted for my children is I wanted them to be healthy. And the third thing that I wanted for my children is I wanted them to be happy. You know what's different about God and you being his child? Nothing. God wants you to be educated.
That's right.
God wants you to be healthy. And God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be educated, so he gave you not only his word, but he gave you his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Why? To guide you, to teach you, to direct you, so that you could ask questions to, what am I supposed to do today? You're not going to find that in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. You're going to find that by listening to the Holy Spirit within you. You better turn left here, because there's an accident on the right. Whatever. He wants you to be healthy. He gave us the authority to be healthy. We're going to cover that here in just a minute. And he wants you to be happy. So he gives us joy unspeakable.
That's right.
Right? Joy unspeakable. I mean, it's amazing. Jesus is not going to hang on the cross again. Jesus is not going to get scourged again either. Once was enough. It was enough. If you look down at the bottom of page 5, you'll see John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. The Greek word there for right is the coolest word. Exousia.
Yep.
E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Exousia. The word means that he gave the right. That's accurate. But it means more than that. It means that he gave you the power of choice. Amen. The power to choose. The liberty of doing. Or, my favorite is the authority to do a thing. We have rights and privileges because we're an American citizen. Roman citizens had rights and privileges, right? Remember when Paul got chained up, he got beat, and they left him in there overnight, and the next morning he's like, hey, is it legal for you guys to beat a Roman citizen? Oh man, did he have their attention? It's like, oh no, what are we going to do? We beat a Roman citizen. Oh, man. We're dead meat. Why? Because Paul had the right as a Roman citizen to go, you can't beat me. We have rights. Not only as American citizens, but we have rights as children of God. We have the right. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. I have the right, the liberty, the authority to become a child of God. Amen. You have the right. I have the right to three things: salvation, health, and a relationship with Abba Father. Three things that every Christian has the right to. Okay? Turn over to page 6. I think we're on page 6. We're on page 6? Okay, good. We're on page 6. Exousia. There's another meaning to exousia that I want to explain to you for a few minutes, all right? It's kind of a visual, right? But it also means not only the right, the privilege, the authority, but it means a decree handed down by a higher authority to a lower court. It's a legal term, right? I have the exousia. I have the piece of paper on my car, says I own it. Nobody can come and take it. Why? Because I own it. The decree that's handed down is handed down by God in John 1:12. There is nobody higher. There is no authority higher. There is nobody more powerful. Come, take it out of my hand. Try it. There's been a lot that's tried. He hasn't given up his grip yet, right? There is no higher court than the throne room of God. Amen. And his decree overturns all lower court decrees. Satan says, you have to be sick. You walk on this planet, you eat this food, you have to be sick. Disease is going to come along. But God says, not necessarily so. I give you the right, the privilege, the authority to say you don't have to. I don't have to be sick. That's why I could wake up at 4:00 in the morning and go, nope, no, sos, you got to go. Because I had the right, and it had to obey. This is one of the reasons why God wants his children educated. Because if we were educated about the rights and privileges that God gives us, we wouldn't have to put up with a lot of the crap that we have to put up with. So, I want to paint for you a little picture of the courtroom of heaven. You can find it in Daniel, you can find it in Revelation, but I want to paint for you a simple little picture of a courtroom. Get a picture of a courtroom in your mind. Who's the judge? Abba Father. The supreme judge. Who's our advocate or defense attorney? Jesus Christ, my brother. Right? Amen. Who's the defense attorney? I'll give you a hint. Boo, hiss. Satan. He comes to accuse. No, he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. And whine and complain. And he's getting away with murder down there. And he's, yeah, I know. Who's the jury? You can't have a court without a jury. You ever think about this? Who's the jury? The saints are the jury. Here's the point. The court is rigged in your favor. Abba Father is the judge. Jesus is our defense attorney. And the jury is all of us. It's rigged in our favor. We don't have to put up with this crap. We don't. The courtroom is completely rigged in our favor. And God gave all of us the power, the right, to have asthenia, salvation, and nosos. To get rid of nosos. We don't have to put up with that. And it wouldn't be much of a healing class or a healing lesson without some practice, would it? So here's what I want to do. Put down your notes. Put down your pens. Put down your phone. Has anybody in this room tonight or watching on TV, anybody have any physical ailment whatsoever? I don't care. Three eyes, one leg, doesn't matter. Cold, flu, cancer, I don't care. God doesn't care. What is it? Does anybody here have anything like that? Any ailment? Every one of you is here is perfect. If you have an ailment, I want you to stand. You don't have to come forward. I'm not asking you to come forward, but I want you to stand. You got some problem that I want to get rid of. I'm tired of dealing with this. Okay? We're going to do something tonight. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. Because God gave me the authority only? No, he gave you the authority. So we're going to exercise that authority a little bit. If you're sitting on the couch tonight, stand up. Get off the couch. God's word says, repeat after me. Jesus took our asthenia.
Jesus took our asthenia.
The sinful nature and our nosos, our diseases. Thank you, Jesus, for the scourging you took on our behalf. And because of your words and your actions, I command this nosos in my body to leave right now. We cast you into the Dead Sea with concrete shoes on your feet. Never to bother again. Those ties are dissolved. I am God's favored child. And I will not take no for an answer. Nosos?
Nosos.
You have to go.
You have to go.
Leave.
Dissolve the ties that bind. Amen. Now, do something you couldn't do before you walked in tonight.
With high cholesterol, I don't know what to do.
Go to the doctor and get checked.
Amen.
We want to hear about it.
I'll tell you.
Anybody else? Do something that you couldn't do before you walked in. Nosos, you have to go. Sometimes I think it helps to speak in a language that the enemy listens to.
That's right.
Remember that term, nosos, you have to go. Whatever comes, whatever he wants to bring on you, remember that term, nosos, you have to go. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? Let me pray over you. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you that for everybody that came out, for everybody that's watching online, Lord, bless them, Father. Pour out your blessings upon them. Not only to get rid of diseases, but make their cars run better. Make it have more gas in it. Make more food in their fridge, Lord. Make it better food. Lord, bless them. Pour it out. Shake it down. Overflowing, effervescent life, Lord. John 10:10. Bless them, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys. Thank you for putting up with me for the month of March.